In a few seconds, we will take you to London for the first eyewitness account of the actual invasion of France by sea, of the landing of Allied troops on a French beachhead. War correspondent George Hicks saw those landings from the bridge of an Allied warship. And through the ingenuity of radio wire recording, the National Broadcasting Company is able to give you the story as witnessed by George Hicks in a pool broadcast. So, now NBC takes you to London for the first eyewitness account of the actual invasion of Europe. NBC in London.
I'm in the crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had hoped at this time to bring you an account of the actual invasion of France by sea, of the landing of Allied troops on a French beachhead. We take you to London.
Screen over the sky, but which is not thick nor heavy and not low enough to be an inconvenience to bombing. The LCTs and the LCIs have begun to pass along the side of us. Those are the amphibious beach landing craft that carry the tanks, trucks, bulldozers, and finally the men ashore. They've been churning along and are bouncing around in the choppy Channel Sea now. And all around us, on either side, are stretched the fast transports at anchor who have disembarked these small craft. They, all over the surface of the sea here, can be seen cutting and zigzagging and then forming into those somewhat irregular lines.
Ladies and gentlemen, apparently atmospherics have again interfered with our rebroadcast of an account of the invasion by George Hicks from London. We again take you to London.
In and out of the United States. Hello, New York. Didn't you get that?
The National Broadcasting Company takes you now to Chicago.
From Chicago, the National Broadcasting Company presents music by Roy Shield and the orchestra, and featuring Gene McKenna and Richard Page. This program will be interrupted from time to time to bring you the latest news bulletins as they are received in the newsroom. Keep tuned to your favorite NBC station to keep in step with all the latest developments on this Invasion Day. And now Roy Shield and the orchestra open the program with a revival of an old hit, Blue Room.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast from London.
This is George Hicks speaking. I'm speaking now from the tower above the signal bridge.
We take you now to George Hicks in London.
American naval flagship, and we're lying some few miles off the coast of France where the invasion of Europe has begun. It's now 20 minutes to 6, and the landing craft have been disembarked from their motherships and moving in long, irregular lines toward the horizon of France, which is very plain to the naked eye. Our own bombardment fleet, lying out beyond us, has begun to blast the shoreline, and we can see the vivid yellow bursts of flame quite clearly, although the sound is too far away to be heard, and at the same time, from the shore, are answering yellow flames as the Nazi batteries are replying. Overhead, planes are high up in the thin cloud, which is a gray screen over the sky, but which is not thick nor heavy, and not low enough to be an inconvenience to bombing. The LCTs and the LCIs have begun to pass along the side of us. Those are the amphibious beach landing craft that carry the tanks, trucks, bulldozers, and finally the men ashore. They've been churning along and are bouncing around in the choppy channel sea now. And all around us, on either side, are stretched the fast transports at anchor who have disembarked these small craft. And they, all over the surface of the sea here, can be seen cutting and zigzagging and then forming into those somewhat irregular lines that make a black pencil point across the sea itself, heading toward the ribbon of land that's France and the coast of Normandy. We can see the wreaths of smoke that are beginning to puff up, both black and white, on the shoreline. France, at this particular part of its northwestern seacoast, has a rather shallow beach and then steep cliffs, 100 to 200 feet, and then the rolling land beyond. This area is between Cherbourg and Le Havre. The wind has increased rather than diminished during the night and is now blowing an 18 knot wind, which is pretty stiff, keeping up white caps. However, the landing beach craft are going in and are plowing through the choppy sea and seem to be making good headway. The order of the attack is for a naval bombardment, an air bombardment, then landing craft going in carrying tanks, then a wave of infantry to take the first toehold on the beaches, and then a wave of the beach demolition engineers who will knock out with hand charges the underwater obstacles and those on the shore itself. It's now becoming quite clear and daylight as 6 a.m. approaches on June 6, 1944. Occasionally, in the stiff wind that's whipping around our platform, we can hear the thud of shells or bombs landing on the French coastline, perhaps 8 or 10 miles before us. And the steel plates on which we stand vibrate from the concussion of the heavy guns that are firing from the American and British battleships and heavy cruisers forming a long line right behind us. I can count 22 of the squat, square-nosed landing craft carrying vehicles on one side of it as they turn and bounce in the choppy sea, waiting the exact timing to form that line and start in towards the beach. When I had first begun speaking to you, it was the shore batteries of the Nazis that had spotted us here at sea and opened up, and our naval bombardment squad famous American Belle is out 6 miles in her firing position. A duel is in progress now between a battleship lying just a couple of miles off the French shore and firing broadside into the land. The Germans are replying from the land with flashes, and then the battleship lets go with its entire broadside again. Side of the battle wagon lights up with a yellow glare as the broadside goes off, and now you can see brown gray smoke drifting up from her. And her gun barrels. Huge mushrooms of black and gray smoke are beginning to pile up on the beachhead of France, directly towards probably air bombardment, as the two columns are beginning to rise higher than the hills behind them. And to the left is another single column. It's just burst in on the top of the cliff above the chalk wall facing the sea, and puffs of smoke are standing up now like plumes. A fire has been started on the beach front directly before us, and now batteries are firing from the beach, flashes of yellow, and the broadsides of the battleships are pouring it back at them. Overhead, high, planes are roaring. I think they just came in and dropped a salvo of bombs, a stick, on that the hilltop directly before us that we spoke of a moment ago. A mile flight of flying fortresses are passing over the invasion fleet. Bats can hear the roaring of their motors. 36, 38 planes. Against the wind that's rushing through the rigging on this mast top. Heavy bombardment. Naval guns. Ships seem to be even closer to the French shore now. Hugging in along the coastline and blasting out there. Blossoms of yellow fire. There have been replies from the shore, but low gray pink clouds have set down over the coast of France. For a moment now, we're unable to see the outline of the land. Although over into the east, the sky has opened up. The loudspeaker on this flagship has been announcing almost continuously. The Spitfires on our starboard bow, P-38, dead ahead. The air support, here comes four P-38 now, following the fort. The air has simply been crisscrossed with allied planes of all types.
The tank carrying and vehicle carrying landing craft have passed our ship and are beginning to form their line, which is already pointed toward the French coast. We earlier had smaller LCVTs, which carry infantry and personnel, have been en route now over 40 minutes, and according to the time schedule, should be hitting the French shore in 10 minutes from now. Everywhere you look in this jangled English channel, which is green and gold,
and that, ladies and gentlemen, was an eyewitness account of the actual invasion of France by sea, of the landing of Allied troops on a French beachhead. War correspondent George Hicks saw those landings from the bridge of an Allied warship, and through the ingenuity of radio wire recording, the National Broadcasting Company has brought you the story as witnessed by George Hicks in a pool broadcast. We take you now to Chicago. Thank you.
your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear that pitter-pat? And that happy tune is yourself. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with the blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover crossed over. If I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear that pitter-pat? And that happy tune is yourself. Life could be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with the blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover's crossing over. If I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Here is a musical salute to one of our great neighbors to the south. Roy Shield and the orchestra lend color to the brilliant samba, Brazil. Once again, it's Richard Page at the microphone with a hit song from the motion picture Higher and Higher. The music stopped.
but we were still dancing, which goes to show that music has charms. The lights were low, so we kept on dancing. I felt the glow of you in my arms. The band had left the stand and we were in heaven, dancing on a cloud way off in the blue. The music stopped.
Brilliant colors afforded by a full orchestration. Roy Shield and the orchestra paint a musical landscape of one of our great western states. Here is the Roy Shield arrangement of Nevada.
Thank you.
program closes with this rhythmic and brilliant Roy Shield treatment of an old favorite. It's Juba Dance. Half hour, NBC has brought you from Chicago music by Roy Shield and the orchestra, and featuring the songs of Gene McKenna and Richard Page. Stay tuned to your NBC station for all the latest news of developments on the invasion front. The National Broadcasting Company has mobilized its entire news-gathering staff in order to bring you the most comprehensive possible coverage of the world-shaking events now taking place on the continent of Europe. This is the National Broadcasting Company.